Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I got to tell you, this story made me laugh. I had wondered, you know, I found out where Michelle Bachmann's been. She's still doing crazy stuff. But now you've got this guy, Milo Yiannopoulos. I can never say his name right. He was the guy who, during the Republican convention in 16, sat down and said, so what are we going to talk about? I go, well, we're going to talk about how much I don't like you and how much the GOP is destroying this country. And he looked at me and goes, well, we're not talking. He got up, he walked away. I'm like, damn it, I should have saved that. Because I didn't even really know who he was at the time. But that was fun. Evidently, now he's an ex-gay. He was, at that moment, he was flaming. He was prancing. He was doing all that stuff. And good on him. Do your thing. Now he's ex-gay, according to him, and ready to partner up with a Florida church to do an audiobook of him reading the Bible. He's going to set up a gay conversion program down in Florida at some point. It's being reported where he's, you know, evidently going to, I guess, burn people like he claims he did to himself to stop being gay, which is just weird. But hey, he needs the attention. Mom must not have breastfed him as a kid. Just a weird thing. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the March for Freedom that happened today in the U.S. Capitol. I've asked our good friend Pete Dominic to come talk with us. Pete's a stand-up comic. Also, the host of the fabulous Stand Up with Pete Dominic podcast. Pete, thanks for taking time for us.
Rick, great to see you. I will always make time for you and for your wife.
Yep, you're a great dude. I appreciate you taking time for us, man. So what do you think of, let's start with Milo. What do you think of Milo now? Milo not gay? Now going to read the Bible, going to conversion church, going a different route.
That story made me sad. That story makes me sad. I am sad by anybody who can't be, you know, as close to their true self as they want to be. And, you know, the idea that you can be an ex-gay, he's so desperate for money and for a grift.
That's it.
He's come up with a life grift, which is to deny who he is, which is a gay person. And now, you know, reading the Bible for money. I mean, how far has this guy fallen? It's just terrible. It's a terrible thing to create the idea that you can be X anything, or, you know, in terms of your sexual orientation. Obviously, you can always improve yourself. So I don't want to say that. But I mean, that's not improving yourself. So the idea that you're going to put it out there to somebody who's struggling with their sexuality, who is thinks they're alone, the only, you know, really struggling, some young person maybe, thinking, well, if he can do it, I can do it. Well, he didn't do it. He's not ex-gay. He's still gay. And by the way, I pranced out here. So I just want to say nothing wrong with prancing. Not that you were saying that. But
you do, you brother.
But to be fair, I'm also sexually attracted to three to five specific men, including Tom Brady. But listen, the idea that you're going to create false hope for young people that are struggling with coming out is dangerous. It's cruel. And it's for him selfish because it's not true. We all know that he is bullshitting all of us. So it's just sad. If it weren't so awful.
Yeah. And it's, you know, at the end of it, you hit it right at the beginning. It's about money. It's a grift. It's him just trying to rip somebody off. And look, that's, to me, that's the story of the GOP. I mean, I look at Tuesday when you had these horrific stories of these police officers, and you've got Elise Stefanik coming out going, hey, let's have a fundraiser. Send me money.
Yeah. I mean, more importantly, coming out and blaming Nancy Pelosi. They did this with Hillary Clinton as well on Benghazi. They said that she turned down security forces. And that's what they're saying about, you know, Nancy Pelosi. She knew there could have been danger and she turned down extra. Neither of which happened. It didn't happen, first of all. Second of all, they're just obfuscating what everybody saw with their own eyeballs, you know, for months that the president of the United States kept repeating a thing over and over that was clearly untrue. And got people to believe it to the point where they then had a date set, organized, and paid for. And then he told them to head up to the Capitol. And then he probably told his Secret Service agents to, if there's any danger at all up there, then the first thing we got to do is whisk old Mike Pence out of there. And, you know, I want you to bring him to a safe bunker in Alaska so that the election couldn't get certified until whatever happened. I don't know. I do think in his deepest, darkest fantasy, Donald Trump and maybe Donald Jr. and maybe one other sycophant that works with him really thought that those guys were going to somehow take over the Capitol and hold Nancy Pelosi ransom until they, you know, made him president again or whatever deep, dark bullshit he made himself believe. I think there's something to that. And It's awful. The whole thing is horrendous that so many people believe Donald Trump, that the election was rigged and stolen from him. It's terrible for our future elections all the way up and down, local and state and federal. And, you know, watching these testimonies this week was heartbreaking. And the only thing, not really, but the only thing more heartbreaking was people, you know, criticizing Adam Kinzinger for becoming emotional. You know, it's like men don't cry. I heard a lot of that this week. So, yeah, they do cry. And I was one of those men crying on Monday or whatever day it was, Tuesday, during the hearings. It was awful.
Well, it was awful. But the thing that gets me is you've got an entire political party in this country, sans two people who are bought and sold and you know, on this crazy train that today, you know, a bunch of them got together in the House and they had their March for Freedom. Or their Taste of Freedom march or whatever the heck that was with their little selfie sticks and their cameras for their photo op to march over to the Senate so they could take off their masks.
Rick, what did they mean when they used the word freedom?
I really have no idea what they mean by freedom other than hooray for me and the hell with you. I get to do whatever I want without regard for anything having to do with you.
Right, right. Freedom from cooperation. Freedom from collaboration, freedom from my neighbor. And what I hear with freedom is, you know, and I also hear this with national security. Are you strong on national security? Only if you have good healthcare system. Because my threat to me and to my family, the thing that's most likely to put us in danger are health issues, not a terrorist attack, no, health issues. So for me, national security is a strong universal healthcare system. And freedom is freedom to not have to work next to somebody who's going to get me sick by choice. You know, I mean, the idea that they defined freedom partly by the, I think the way that you described it really well, and by several other definitions of, you know, the government confiscating my taxes or freedom to not have to wear a mask. And it's like, no, that's, these are silly definitions of freedom. They are individual freedoms and we have collective freedoms and we need to have a more thoughtful conversation. I mean, pathetic the way that they talk about freedom and liberty and all that. It's such a grift. It's so stupid. It's insulting to our intelligence the way that they throw the word freedom around, you know, regarding, you know, being able to have whatever gun they want, however many bullets they want, to drive whatever they want, wherever they want, and not have to listen to anybody tell them, quote, what to do. That's really the other issue. Freedom from having anyone telling me what to do. You're not my dad. No, I'm not, but this is my convenience store and you have to wear shoes, fuckface.
Dude. Terrestrial radio. but I'm with you on everything else. because that is really their idea, and you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene marching from the House side to the Senate side, taking off her mask in the Senate side, is the ultimate childish game, knowing that she could be bringing the virus with her into a chamber of old people who are the ones who are potentially the victims of this.
Well, listen, before Marjorie Taylor Greene was a congresswoman, do you know what her job was?
I actually don't know.
The original Scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz. She's made of straw, Rick. She's just a straw man, straw woman. She is just, you know, she's, you mentioned, Buchanan earlier? What's her name? How quickly we forget her. Michelle Bachmann. Remember when she was the craziest person?
I loved her. She was as crazy as you could, a little loon. But I never thought she was this kind of danger crazy.
Well, these people are way, way more crazy than she was. She was really crazy. But Marjorie Taylor Greene and Chip Roy and Gohmert and Lauren Boebert, and there's more. There's several. And then if they're not crazy enough, like this woman who is somewhat moderate, Mace from – she represents Charleston, South Carolina, and more in South Carolina. She lightly criticized Trump after the insurrection, and there was backlash. And so she went way off the deep end. And so if they're not appropriately conspiratorial, bigoted, and, you know, absolutely out of their minds about the most ridiculous stuff, then they're going to lose. They can't win re-election. If you're not crazy enough, they'll primary you with someone crazier. It's like if you say, you know, something crazy like Trump won the election was rigged. And if that's not crazy enough, because some, you know, person that's running against you is like, listen, the moon is made of cheese. And if you don't agree, if you don't come all the way over to moon is made of cheese, we're going to primary you, because it's not enough to say that Trump didn't win the election, that climate change isn't real, and that trickle down economics don't work or work, and that and that, you know, wearing a mask and vaccination, you know, you're getting microchipped. No, the cow jumped over the moon. And if you're not with me on that, then we're going to primary you. It just gets crazier and crazier and crazier, because they're all led by the crazy folks on YouTube and you know, on the internet, on Fox News, on Newsmax. Those guys come up with crazy stories in their writer's room. They pitch them at 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night. They reverberate all day on all these other shows, and they just get nuttier and nuttier. Alex Jones, crisis actors. It's just never ending flow of vomit at them. It makes them more and more extreme.
No, you're absolutely right. And every one of them, if you saw them on their march for the Taste of Freedom, all of them had their cameras. They were all doing their live streaming, taking their selfies, all so that they can do a lot of just what you're talking about, so that they can rise up and ultimately make more money. Because ultimately, this comes down to money.
Yeah, it comes down to, I mean, some of them, you know, I think a lot of them really are principled. They're principled about crazy things. Crazy, crazy things. I mean, so many of today's Republican Congress representatives are 100% educated by their own life experience, and which is fine. Everybody can come with it, but mainly that. So if they experience one thing one time somewhere, that's they're making policy on that. But more importantly, they're educated by Sean Hannity, and worse, Tucker Carlson, and worse, Alex Jones, and worse, hardcore outspoken white supremacists. Those are the people that raised Madison Cawthorn. Those are the people that educated Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert. They are just spouting Hannity. Yeah. They have no idea about public policy. The words public health, a master's in public health, they would never listen to somebody who has that. Never. Yeah, they would only listen to their favorite talker.
Yeah, and I would argue even worse than them, the evangelical community who's you know, well, hey, you know, Jesus wanted the insurrection.
Or even, I mean, I'll rail harder than that. I've always been, you know, a pretty hardcore atheist person. I mean, I'm agnostic in terms of what I believe, but I definitely, you know, think that even if you believe some of the crazy stuff about mainstream Christianity, moderate Christianity, that's pretty crazy to believe that stuff too. So of course you're going to be more likely to believe other things as well. I mean, but I remember when I found out the truth about Santa and the Easter Bunny. I don't know who's listening. I don't want to destroy, you know, innocent children's lives, Rick, but I remember when I learned that, and I remember thinking, oh man, can't even believe I bought that. That's so, you know, it's like critical thinking. You start to learn, you start to understand how to be a reasonable person, and then you actually get educated on things, and then you start to rely on data and expertise. And it's just not part of the Republican Party or the conservative movement, which is no longer the conservative movement. It is the Trump cult. It is him, and he, by the way, also follows whatever the pundits say. He's not making, you know, throwing these things out. He's not coming up with these ideas. He knows that a lot of his people are anti-vax and white supremacists.
Yeah, so here are we at this moment then? Because if they are the anti-vax people, and I know they are, is this how we get rid of some of them? Let them all get sick, let them die. We could turn Florida, Texas blue.
No. No.
Not going there?
No, because the death rate isn't that high. It's just not that high. It's not high enough that I think it affects the outcome of a vote in any district at any level, I'm guessing. So that's, you know, something that the most craven among us could wish for. But even then, I think if you look at, you know, I don't think this movement is unfortunately dying, because there's always going to be some young ass jerk who, Charlie Kirk, for example, you know, who's got a million, you know, millions and millions of young people watching him say that Simone Biles is a sociopath. That's what he said, you know, and like, whatever, he'll just say whatever he can to get people, and it'll always work. And so I'm not saying that we should give up. I'm not saying that that's necessarily going to dominate, but I'm saying it's not going to die out to the point that it affects the outcome of an election. And COVID is not going to kill enough anti-vaxxers either. It's just not it's not that deadly. It's deadly for sure. And it can make you very sick and long-term illnesses, but it's, you know, I don't think that it's that kind of numbers, and generally speaking, still, even though it's affecting younger people now, still generally killing, you know, older voters as well. So I don't know.
Yeah, well, no, we'll see. I mean, but it's raging in the places where the you know, where
well,
they
you
are.
Feel terrible. You feel terrible. I feel worst for. It's very easy for those of us who are liberal snobs, and I'm talking about myself, to just look down on them and say, fine, die. But then, you know, if you're not, if you're going to be so stupid that you're not going to get it. But then I always, as soon as I feel that way, and I do think that to myself sometimes, if I'm being honest, I immediately think about the people, the dedicated people working in the hospitals who thought they had this beaten and thought they weren't going to have to deal with this. And now their hospitals are overrun in places in Florida and Missouri right now and Arkansas. And it's, I feel terrible for those people because they're just, you know, frankly, they didn't sign up for that.
Yeah.
I don't think most healthcare, you know, workers signed up for, you know, walking literally into combat and potentially getting sick and dying just from going to work. And so I feel really terrible for them.
You know, what's amazing to me is, you know, how fast the news cycle changed. Infrastructure on Wednesday, the March for Freedom today. Tuesday seemed like a long time ago. That's what bothers me, because we've already lost the outrage that should have come from Tuesday's testimony.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I haven't yet. I'll say, I mean, that Tuesday's testimony was so powerful and so impactful to anybody who watched it, to most people who watched it. And the credibility that police officers supposedly have, especially on the right, should matter. I do think that'll matter. I think that it matters that there were, let's say, white police officers up there saying, you know, what they said. I think that does matter to enough people. And I think that this is going to go on, and it's frankly entertaining if it wasn't so horrific. And so the point being, keep it going. If you're Democrats, remind them of who they are and what they did, and never let them forget it because of what you said. It's easy to move on, but let's keep having these hearings. And the Republicans certainly did it really well, arguably damaged Hillary Clinton with the whole Benghazi affair, which wasn't even a thing, you know. And this was a thing. This was an attack on the capital of the United States. And by the way, the one thing that's kind of depressing, when I tend to forget this fact, the rest – you ever do this, Rick? The rest of the world watched that.
Yes.
I always forget that. I always get so insulated, and it's easy to as an American, the world, you know, revolves around it. The rest of the world saw those terrorists attack the Capitol to overturn our election, led by a person who paints his face in a natural color.
I'm still hoping there'll be some perp walks. I'm not overly confident, but I'm hoping it does. But Pete, I appreciate you taking some time, sharing some thoughts. Always great talking with you, my friend.
Pleasure to join you, Rick. Thank you very much for having me. Great work, buddy, as always.
Good stuff, as always. Our good friend Pete Dominic, stand-up comic. Make sure you check out his podcast, Stand Up with Pete Dominic. We'll get links out on how you can do that. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.